The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, the 16th day of September 2021. Glad to have you here. I often say there's sometimes enough news and enough stuff going on for me to host multiple talk shows. And the very cool thing is sometimes I get to host multiple talk shows. And that is the case today. So we will have our 7 to 10 a.m. get together with all of its normal comings and goings. Our buddy Mike Gallagher joins us 7:35. State Rep Matt Krause will give us an update on things going on in Austin and in his life at 8:05. And coming at 9 o'clock hour, this happened quite by happenstance. But a couple of really just sublimely inspiring things. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to welcome a woman who I had a chance to meet on the phone. She called just in the middle of a conversation about this. There's so much talk about Texas' new abortion law, the heartbeat law, which is a life-saving, magnificent, wonderful thing. And I guess the subject arose of the rape and incest exception, which is moral idiocy. The newly created life is either sacred or it's not. If it's not, then you're pro-choice. If it is, then it is. In 6 weeks is not some mandate that rape victims will bring those babies to term. The window for terminating a pregnancy still exists. It should not be pursued under any moral argument. But that's a latitude that the law does give. And I met a woman on the phone who had a son who she was raped and had the baby. And she now does some traveling and some speaking about her beautiful, wonderful son whom she loves and says, I'm really glad I did not kill him. I'm glad I did not compound the horror of rape with the sin of murder. Jennifer Christie will join us at, I think it's 9:05. 9:35, hey, remember Cuba? There's so much stuff going on, a lot of focus on Afghanistan, of course, obviously. And you remember a few weeks ago, a few months ago, I guess, the spring, there was this ripple in Cuba of people wanting, freedom and things that resemble freedom in a totalitarian communist country 90 miles off the shores of the United States. We're going to meet a gentleman who is working hard to spread faith and freedom in Cuba, and that's the 9 o'clock hour. And then it's 10 o'clock, and we hand things over to Mike Gallagher, and I'm not done. You'll listen to Mike, and then I'm coming back and doing the Dennis Prager Show. Now, the Prager Show, noon to 2, right here, and guess what you'll hear at the very, very beginning? The very beginning, 12:06, let's call it. The very first post-election interview with our buddy Larry Elder. Everybody's asking me, like, I know, what's Larry going to do? When's he going to be back on the air? Is he going to run for something else? Well, yeah, well, I don't know. But we'll find out together about 12:06, because that'll be the first thing you hear as I do the Dennis Prager Show today, our visit with Larry Elder, fresh off the California recall. Now, the California recall did not go the way we wanted it to. I never meant to be Debbie Downer, and I won't say that I told you this was absolutely going to happen, but I always told you this was the great likelihood because, say it with me, it's California. And that means that the greatest likelihood was always that the voting patterns were going to heavily resemble what the voting patterns were in November of last year, when by roughly a 2-to-1 margin, California went for Biden. Why? because it's California. So if you look at the opportunity of punting a Democrat governor and welcoming in an incredibly bold conservative like Larry Elder, that's going to go down by a margin of about 2-1. And that's exactly what it did. But I'm so proud of Larry because you know what it meant? It meant for weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean, and he got in Newsom's head rent-free. I mean, they were concerned. I mean, they run Obama out to do some video ads. They woke Biden up for an evening appearance in the night before the election. It was so they, you know, and they spent squillions of dollars on their labor union constituencies in a get out the vote effort. And Newsom survived the recall again by about a 2-1 margin. And why? Because it's California. So is California irredeemable? Is there no hope for the former Golden State? I think it's a long game, and anything can happen. And you always try. You always try. You always try. And I have a feeling Larry is going to be trying in a variety of ways moving forward. So I'll be sitting in for Dennis Prager, and we'll have our first post-election chat with Larry Elder. That'll be right afternoon, 12:06. Okay. I've got a dozen things to say about General Milley. I've just been listening to Hugh talk to a variety of people about General Milley. And yes, okay, yes, waiting for all info to come in is always wise. That's a hymnal from which I often sing, is wait for it. Let's let the game come to us. Let's see what we know. Well, here's what I know. General Milley is accused in a book, Peril, by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, of a completely treacherous phone call to his Chinese top brass counterpart to comfort the Chi-Coms against a perceived wheels-off mentally deranged President Trump. Did this happen? If it did, Milley should be gone yesterday. If it did not, wouldn't a normal human being with a brain stem think that General Milley would be out front of this saying, hey, that crazy Bob Woodward, he's making stuff up. I never did that. I would never do that. The silence is deafening. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with the likelihood that this absolutely happened. If at some point General Milley comes before the microphones, either at a press conference or, my favorite thing, congressional testimony, and says, I absolutely did not do that. It'd be a horrible violation of chain of command. I would never go around the president's authority like that. Then I will say, okay, he has cleared it up. I will no longer go with that presumption. I don't think that day is going to come. If it does, it does. I will adjust accordingly when it does. But this is completely believable. All of these, first understand that Trump-hating America, the segment of America that is Trump-hating, either because it's the Democrat Party or the left or wayward, never Trump idiots, they need Milley to be their hero. And that's why this story got floated in the first place. Oh, look at this. Respected general, so scared to death at Trump's derangement and craziness and wheels off out of control-ness that he had to call the Chinese to make sure the Chinese knew that we weren't going to nuke Beijing. Oh, thank God for General Milley. And there was a Joy Reid put that Joy Behar. You know, we had a certifiable lunatic in the White. I mean, I know this chain of command. I'm turning her into Dr. Fauci. Have they ever been seen in the same room? I know there's chain of command, but it was an emergency. Emergency. They need Milley to be a hero, and they thought that he would be. And it is backfiring spectacularly because even a lot of Democrats, even a lot of Trump haters recognize that this would be, if not treason, surely a treacherous coup attempt going around a president in order to comfort, if not an enemy, surely a rival, our chief global military rival. And so I'm going with it until General Milley, his own self, gives me a reason not to. Clock's ticking. We'll see how that goes. No matter how it goes in the news, in our lives, this is a good idea. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Speaking of protection, protect and watch over our fellow Americans trapped in Afghanistan. And Lord, be with us as we chart a course out of this COVID nightmare. Help us to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives. Guide us to fight for our liberties within the law and by following your law. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. So lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America where our Constitution is honored, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where the unborn are protected, and where any differences we have are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected in the process. As we face each day's problems, and they are many, always give us the clarity to pause, look around, and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Always news items to be found in the prayer. The prayer is not meant to be a news preview, but everything that's in there, it's a list of the things that we're all worried about. There's COVID news in the courtroom. There is a disability rights group, and I'm inclined to think well of disability rights groups, but they came at the federal courts and said, we got to have a mask mandate. And a federal judge in Austin said, no, we don't. We'll have details on that. And speaking of the General Milley waiting game, the book, and the source material for all of this is the book called Peril, which I think is released in about 5 days from Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. There's all kinds of other stuff in there, too, like Biden may have turned down actual military advice to sit tight on his Afghan exit plan. The whole Milley thing may not be the most explosive thing in that book. But the book contains a passage in which Mark Milley goes to then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and essentially says, you know, Trump's out of control. We got to have a peaceful transfer of power. I've made sure we're going to do that. So last night on Hannity, Sean asked Mike Pompeo, that conversation ever happened? Pompeo's answer next, and a number of other things as well. 866-660-5759. It is 719. I'm Mark Davis. Good Thursday to you. I hope the day ahead is filled with blessings. Thanks for hanging out with us. Back in a moment.
The thrill is gone.
Just in time for the Christmas of 1969, the release of an early 50s blues record, The Thrill Is Gone, by the great B.B. King, born this date, 96 years ago. Lived a long, remarkable life. B.B. King passed away just about 6 years ago.
And you'll be sorry someday.
The library lives on. Download you some B.B. King today on what would have been his 96th birthday. Okay, Pompeo on Sean last night. Real quick, Ardmore, Oklahoma. Wesley, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Hey, so a moment ago, you said that if Milley comes before the microphones and explains himself, then you believe he was innocent if that's what he said. But until then, you're believing that he did exactly what Wilbur has alleged.
Correct. In 30 seconds on why, and then you tell me if you think it's unreasonable. If somebody comes out in a book and has something that is this damning, something that is that can bring about this kind of reputational wreckage, then it's like a law of physics. The person will virtually immediately say, that's not true. I did not do it. The silence from General Milley is deafening, giving huge credibility to the believability of the story.
He's chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff and being accused of treason.
Correct.
Effectively.
Correct.
So that's a very delicate place to walk.
No doubt about it.
And smart thing to do is to shut up and deal with it in a very professional and reasoned manner. And that means don't just jump out there and just say, I didn't do it, even if you didn't do it and you can prove it.
So help me out. What is the wisdom of him just sitting and letting this marinate for days and days and days, as much of the world calls for him to be, sacrificed?
He's worried up.
I know what you mean. And there are instances in which people might really lie low. I mean, you have a point here. It's hard to imagine how this is one of them. I can perceive no legal benefit, no strategic benefit for him failing to refute this story unless it's true. And I'll add one thing, that if somebody is accused of something that is really just horrible, my bar is really high for even considering going along with it. Two things: the huge number of people around Trump, including some with strong military backgrounds, whose brains turned to complete jelly the moment they realized they could not change him. John Kelly, McMaster, Mad Dog Mattis. It happened to a lot of other people. And the other thing is General Milley has already revealed some serious cognitive problems, and I say that tongue-in-cheek partially, with his love of critical race theory. And this, I want to learn more about white rage and make sure my armed forces do too. If you've got that pathology working in your brain, almost anything's possible.
Well, that was concerning, but not enough by itself.
Two
comments, and one of them.
Go ahead.
He made two comments allegedly, and the first, first one was, "We're not going to attack." Mm-hmm. That could have been a backdoor that could have come from higher up, and just that part wasn't quoted by Woodward, or at least not in the advanced stuff, because mm-hmm. it's more scintillating.
Mm-hmm. Okay? There you've brought up one of the best points of all, is people are trying to sell books here. But here's the thing. Bob Woodward's been trying to sell books for 50 years, and vast majority of the time, the stuff he comes up with actually tends to have happened. So, yes, I take everything you've said to heart, and you have strong points. My ears and my mind and my heart are totally open to General Milley coming out at some point, either him or his attorney or his representative or his dog, and saying, this did not happen. This did not happen. Okay. Here's, speaking of whether something did or did not happen, it's kind of interesting. The Woodward book says that Milley went to Mike Pompeo and said, essentially, Trump's crazy, and I got to do something to make sure he doesn't nuke China.
Then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told Milley that Trump was in a dark place right now. Milley had just one goal, ensuring the peaceful transfer of power January 20th. And he told you, Milley telling Pompeo, we got a plane with four engines and three of them are out. We have got no landing gear, but we're going to land this plane and we're going to land it safely. I've known you a long time, Mr. Secretary. I've known you to be an honest and truthful man. Is that true?
I have no recollection of a conversation like that. Look, we were all pretty down. We were about to hand over the reins of foreign policy to what this administration, we've seen these last 8 months, what that means for the United States of America. So if someone asked, was I excited about January 20th and the fact that we were no longer going to have the capacity to secure American freedom, I count me for being a pretty dark place, too.
So that's Pompeo and Hannity lies. Much more of that, like 8 o'clock hour. But here's the thing. You say, ooh, maybe that counts against the book. Maybe that counts against Woodward's credibility. Not so much. What that may involve is Mark Milley making stuff up to bolster his completely concocted paranoia. Let me run this by Mike Gallagher and a number of other things too. Next, Mark Davis, 731. Gordon Griffin is in the newsroom.
The Virginians. words emerged with the nation's capital. And here's the pièce de résistance. No one else was in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room where it happened.
Now, there are actually two reasons for this. Number one, shocker, it's the Mike Gallagher segment.
Broadway!
Give my regards to Broadway!
There's no business like
So reason number one is, this is Hamilton, room where it happened, and my mic was in the what row? What row? What
row?
Good
was row, F, row F. Row F, seats 109, 110.
Excellent.
Cool. 101, 111, 144 of us, actually.
And the other reason is because room where it happened is also the title of the John Bolton book, when this rock-ribbed, solid-spined, America-loving patriot decided to turn on Trump, because, hey, that's what you do, and wrote this stupid book filled with all kinds of garbage about him. And John Bolton, hang on a second, I have the John Bolton excerpt here in which he weighs in about General Milley. Quote, Mark Milley is a staunch supporter of the Constitution and rule of law. His patriotism is unquestioned. In the days after Donald Trump's defeat, November 3rd election defeat, I can only imagine the pressures he and others were under in fulfilling their constitutional obligations. What a ridiculous sentence, but he's not done. I have no doubt General Milley consulted widely with his colleagues on the National Security Council and others during this period. I would also be very surprised if many of them were not fully aware of General Milley's actions and that they fully concurred in them. That is John Bolton yesterday. So let's take care of your night at Hamilton. And then we'll go to this.
Oh, well, I would just say it was a great night. Had a fun time. It's a great show. And my mission in life is to try to get you to see it.
I know. And I went looking through the soundtrack thing.
Listen, we try to send each other. Listen, let me tell you something real quick. We try to send each other little tchotchkes for Christmas.
Yeah.
Give me that as a Christmas gift. Go sit down with Lisa and Ethan and watch.
Well, Christmas, I mean, it's on the TV box.
Do it now. It'll be an early Christmas gift. I'm just saying, do it for me. Because I was thinking of you last night when I saw it, and I thought about halfway through the second act, I thought, you're either going to absolutely devour it, or you're going to, maybe you'll hate it. Maybe you'll be indifferent. And if you are, tell me. I don't think you will be, though.
And
I think you're going to love it.
That'll be okay. It doesn't mean you're wrong. These are matters of taste. I am not anti-musical. I find some of them ridiculous, but some of my favorite entertainments ever.
I think you're going to like it.
Oliver, Man of La Mancha, Sound of Music, West Side Story.
This is none of that.
I know.
Don't think old school. Think of a real, cool way. But Mark, the way they tell the story, and I have fact-checked it, because the first time I saw it, I thought, I want to.
Great.
It comes to life. It tells you all about the drama of Hamilton's affair, how he was extorted and how it nearly ruined him, kept him from becoming president.
Right, right.
The feuds, the duels that killed his son, and then, of course, took his life at the same spot where his son died in a duel trying to avenge his father's name, right across the river from where I'm sitting right now in New Jersey. It's just a wonderful piece of theater, and I hope you guys will take a couple hours to sit down one night. Do that
will.
For me.
And I swear to you, I will with 1,000% honesty tell you how it washes.
Full house last night. I'm telling you,
very cool.
If these are super spreader events, I'm gonna go see BioScan daily.
That's right.
You talk about going in weekly. I got to go see BioScan every day
because
I'm gonna be I'll be on 5 ventilators because but you wonder. I mean, everybody's sitting there shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow.
Mask to mask. Right?
Yeah, but you know what I think of the efficacy sometimes of masks.
You're just over it, aren't you? We are, and this is funny because you fly all the time. You're at Broadway every other night, and these are completely masked things. And eventually, you just go, well, I'm wearing a mask, and maybe I would be the same. But as it is, and as you were talking about New York yesterday or day before about your experience at Waitress, and you said it was far from normal. It's not the full usual hustle and bustle of Broadway and the pre-show dinner crowd at 6:30 and stuff like that.
Yep.
I said, you know what? I'm waiting until normalcy kicks in. I want to wait for the New York that Lisa and I know. I know you're glad to be there.
You might be waiting a long time.
I really might. And you've told me, you remember a year and a half ago, I said, well, I'm not going to Disney World until you can do it without masks. I'm not getting on a plane. And you said, well, it'll be a long time before you go anywhere that substantial. And you may well be right, because the longer you sort of endure the mask world in order to do things you want to do, the more used to it you get. The longer I refrain from it, the more dug in I get. I will not get on a plane and only take off a mask to eat a peanut every hour on the hour. I won't do it. I understand if they have the right to have the rule. That's their right. My right is to just not get on a stinking plane.
Well, and you know, here's the way I see it. This is what my struggle is. And while I respect you're sort of digging your heels in, neither of us are spring chicks anymore. You know, I'm 61 years old, and we are losing years, Mark. We are losing experiences. This is not going to go away soon, Mark. So you're not going anywhere unless you load up the Roadster and put Grandma on the roof and drive somewhere. Because you're not going to go anywhere then, because this mask wearing on planes is going to be here for at least another year.
This is a strong, strong point
Thank you.
Because, Lisa and I were in New York at least once a year.
You're going to lose that.
I mean, I'd like to think 30, but you're right.
Mm-hmm. Right. God willing, we both got 30, 40 years left, but mm-hmm. it's not likely. Mm-hmm. And at 61, I don't want to keep losing years. And you're missing – New York is still New York. It's still got that vibe. It's not as – it's not as crowded as it was.
Is the crime better? And I know it was Andrew Giuliani's mayoral video thing, but a couple of weeks ago – he was at Washington Square Park, just steps away from Greenwich Village, one of our favorite places on the planet, with that sort of Arc de Triomphe replica that they got there.
Yep.
And the one, and it was just, it was a Sunday morning, and he's like stepping over garbage, and I think a dead body's in there. I'm kidding about that. And it was like, what? Really?
I know.
And
it's not great, but here's what you're not going to ride the subway at night.
Well, I wouldn't do that
anyway.
You're
not
going
to be anywhere where there's not a crowd of people. Yeah. It's horrifying. Again, these are trade offs that people are going to have to decide whether they're going to make it or not.
You're very, very right.
But at 61, you know what I'm going to do? When people get mad at me for going along, and I'm getting a lot of pushback, people are saying,
Why are you going to
Broadway? Why are you wearing a mask?
Because he wants
why
to.
Are you, why did you get a vaccine? Because you know what? Honest to goodness, I really do want to live my life.
Yep.
I don't have a lot of pleasures in my life. The ones I have, yep. I'll be damned if they're going to take it from me. Now, here's Biden meeting yesterday with these big company leaders and the whole debate about will Biden's vaccine mandates hold up. I don't know. I mean, I will tell you this, and people are going to get infuriated with me. It's performative to show your vaccine at a restaurant or at a Broadway theater. They look at it, but they don't. They're not able to verify it. They just want to see you're making the effort. Mm-hmm. I'm not encouraging anybody to cheat. I'm just telling you, showing them that little piece of paper or that thing on your phone mm-hmm. is as simple as, well, getting on a plane or going to cash a check at the bank. Mm-hmm. It's not not the end of the world. Now, for people who say philosophically we shouldn't have mandates, and again, I'm against mandates like you are from the government. I'm against government-imposed mandates. Mm-hmm. I don't like business-imposed mandates. I also don't like them taking my life from me. So I could be screaming to the mountaintops about I don't want to go to the show because I don't want to have to show my vaccine.
And deny yourself the experience.
I'm going to sit in my living room. I'm sorry. I'm not. That's not a victory to me.
That makes 1,000% sense. I totally get it. Your decision to partake in the portions of life that are afforded to you, even under circumstances you might not agree with, does not mean that you are swell and on board with this. You'll continue to fight the fight for good policy while actually doing things that make you happy.
I want to have a life work. 100%. I want to have a life work balance. I love what I get to do for a living, and then I want to take a few hours and enjoy my life, or I want to hop on a plane and go see my kid, who incidentally went back to school this week in Arlington.
Supposed to happen.
The classroom, Mark.
Oh, man.
They got the wheelchair accessibility for him. He is in the chair, and there's a bunch of fifth graders who are just over the moon
that's
Mr. G
tremendous.
Is back.
This is Mike's son, Trevor, who was in a hellacious car accident just
head-on
weeks
car
ago.
Crash
weeks
in Arlington, ago. August 2nd. You know,
he
shattered both legs, his left arm, his left wrist, 7 broken ribs. I've never seen anybody with such an indefatigable spirit. I've never seen anybody. He is my hero. I mean, he is... Just so like cool. On the political side, Larry Elder inspires me. On the personal side, my kid Trevor inspires me. And so, you know, there's a good example. Here I am in New York or Florida. If I want to go see my kid and I want to see my granddaughter, I'm going to say I'm not going to go see him because I don't want to wear a mask.
Of course, exactly.
You know, so those are the life choices. Meanwhile, let's talk Turkey here. Big headline, Afghan refugees headed to 46 states.
Mm-hmm.
By the numbers, good old Texas, right up there is the second highest. California is projected to receive the largest number of Afghans. They deserve it. Next is Texas. It does not deserve it. I mean, Hawaii, South Dakota, West Virginia, and Wyoming are the only four states not slated to receive anyone from the first group of evacuees. Tens of thousands of...
There's a joke in there somewhere.
I know.
Even Afghan refugees said the Taliban is bad, but West Virginia, no, I cannot do it. I love Denver, but no, I cannot
do
it.
Yeah, but Hawaii, come on, it's paradise, people. Sit on the beach, you know? I mean, no, it's... And then, of course, if you push back at that, you're a racist, yeah. you're a bigot. This is a big story. I mean, and the big picture...
Well, how do you feel about it? Because I, for one, to the degree to which that these arriving Afghans are grateful, hardworking, wonderful folks looking to assimilate, I expect them to be golden contributions to whatever community they enter. But how many terrorists are in there with them? I don't know. 5%? 10%? Because God knows they weren't vetted.
Allow me to answer that question with a question. Do you trust the Biden administration vetted them properly?
You have my answer.
Vetting. I mean, that's the big... Now, speaking of the Biden administration, they're digging in the Woodward book, and there's Milley's denying wrongdoing, but not denying the phone call.
No, exactly. Which is just the kind of mental illness that you and I have chronicled well. They do these things, and they don't think anything's the matter with them.
It's what you said. I quoted you all day yesterday on the Milley story.
Thank you.
Well, it's true because, you know, and now I understand they think that of us. Mm-hmm. They think we're the ones who, you know, Pete Wehner told me that he thinks, you know, a lot of these pro-Trump conservatives have been deformed and poisoned by Trumpism. Well, we see it just the opposite. We believe strongly that the hatred for Trump poisons the mind.
Correct.
It seeps into the soul. Milley hates Trump so badly, he thinks calling China and saying, now if we bomb you, we'll let you know. Behind the commander-in-chief's back is okay.
This is
so baffling, Mark, and we're going to try to make some sense of it today because it doesn't make any to me. And a great piece I want to share with you finally on the show today, 10:05. Molly Hemingway won an award on September 13th, the Bradley Prize. But she gave a speech about what the right needs now is the courage to fight. Even if it costs us.
Amen.
And you're going to love her essay.
So glad.
You're going to look it up. She's one of my favorites. I find myself reading The Federalist more and more these days. And by the way, The Federalist Papers featured prominently in Hamilton.
I wrote The Federalist Papers, Federalist Papers, put the pen
Alexander,
in the ink, wrote The Federalist. Oh, God, me now.
It's not like that.
I'm kidding.
And you'll love King George.
Your
life is... it's so funny. I mean, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
I probably will. And listen, thank you for the quality lead-in. I'm doing Prager today. And listeners at 12:05 will hear the first post-election interview with our friend Larry Elder.
Nice. Hey, way to go. We're supposed to be on stage together next week. Do me a favor. I'm trying to reach him. See if he's coming next week to Tampa.
I'm really in a quandary because I want messages.
I want to plug the event. See if there's a subtle way.
I heard you on the show 3-4 days ago saying, "Hey, I got Ron DeSantis going to be there, and I'm going to be there, and Larry Elder." I said, "Wait a minute, won't Larry be busy being governor of California?
Will he go?
He's going to come back. His calendar is free.
I think he's doing stuff. I think he's available.
All right, man. I'll check. I will gladly check.
All right, so you got two things on your to-do list. You got to ask Larry if he's coming to Tampa, and you got to watch Hamilton.
Okay, very good. Got it.
All right, goodbye.
All right, that is Mike Gallagher. He does a show. He runs my life, and we are all well served. Mike is with you at 10 when we're done, right here on 660 AM The Answer. Not done totally today because Mike will be on 10 to noon, and then I'm back doing Prager noon to 2. Right now, it's 7:52. All right. I said in a pre-show tweet that on today's program, we're going to talk about the news, and we're also going to make some news. So sit tight, enjoy some news from SRN and from our buddy Gordon Griffin. And then on the other side of the news, One of my favorite state legislators is going to join us, but it's not just for an update on Austin. It's not just to talk about some bill he's going to back. Nope. One of my favorite state reps is entering an already intriguing major race in the Texas elections. Who is it? What is it? You'll find out next. 660 AM, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.